Quanto è lo sostegno di un'attività di un'attività? Quanto è stato messo al mondo? Come è?
Try to maintain whatever inner awareness, inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Make full use of this trained mind to develop the meditation in daily life. The daily mindfulness leading to heedfulness is very important. A mind that is heedful has clarity, constantly aware and mindful within. The mind that is untrained thinks a lot, heedless. So meditation is about training the mind to be aware, stabilizing it, then develop the heedfulness. The moment you are heedful, this meditative mind can develop understanding, which is wisdom. So Dhammapada verse 23 define what heedfulness is. The Buddha said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one means you hold on to these two practices, you will definitely realize the supreme bond-free Nibbana, which is the enlightenment. So constantly meditative and ever mindful are the training that you need to develop. When you have mindfulness, when you stabilize it, you will be continuously mindful, ever mindful. Then this will bring about heedfulness throughout the day. Then if you silent your mind and continue with this awareness and heedfulness, then develop the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. It will lead to the awakening, the three types of corresponding wisdom, Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavana Maya Panya. So this summarizes what you need to know. Okay, now we will continue with the chanting. Turn to page 6, invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation, then after that I will chant the Pali. Then we will together chant the Vandana, followed by the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha. Invocation to the devas. In the universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakavalesu Atragacanta Devata Saddhamang Munin Rajasa Sunanto Saka Mokkalang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sukato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta eva manusanang buddho bhagavati. Svākāto bhagavata dhammo sandittiko akāliko ehi pāseko opanayiko pācatāṁ veditāt bhūvino hiti. Supatipanno bhagavata sāvaka saṅgho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Nyāyapatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Sāmīcipatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Yadidāṁ cattāri purisa yukkāni Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Āhuneyo pāhuneyo Dākhineyo anjalikaraneyo Anuttaraṁ puññāṁ khetāṁ lokāsāti Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, we pay respect to the Tripaja. Bedang pecemi. Tamang pecemi. Sanghang pecemi. Okay. Just relax yourself, body and mind. Then maintain some form of attention. We will continue with the second session, meditation, reporting, followed by Q&A. Okay, anybody wants to report their meditation, you can straight away start. Wei Rong, you are. Let's pass the mic on. Yeah,
上个礼拜，我的就你记得吗 ？Sister Provisory， 他其实那个问题我们还没有 discuss。然后他提到了《金刚经》，其实我想很多人对《金刚经》可能都有。大概听过，因为其实《金刚经》里面有很多句子 ，Brother 就都提过。
对，
然后其实我很有兴趣了。
是啊。
然后当然里面很多其实真的是，因为他讲相跟 emptiness， 其实那个都是我们这些凡夫俗子很难去
很难了解
去了解的。可是。那个是很有趣的 topic， 然后
对
我就好像我们常常做很多事情，那个就是所谓的相
啊。
那有些时候是就好像你做一个梦，那个到底是一个假象还是一个把你心里面的一些很深层的一些意识显示出来还是
release,
它到底是什么像
对
然后因为你没有 wisdom 你根本很就算你
很难理解
就算你想知道你只会停留在那个阶段去想那个就又变成另外一个像
对用那个 knowledge to go and try to understand it.
对
It's okay. 放眼一点就可以了。off 掉。Okay. 可以可以啊，可以很好啊。So Hui Rong actually he wanted to ask the question on the Diamond Sutta because last Tuesday I think Padmasuri mentioned about it. So there were two things that Padmasuri was trying to discuss earlier on. Then Hui Rong find it very interesting. Is it we didn't really went into it.Because when we were about to start the puja, I remember, pre-class, we were discussing all these things. Then last week, somehow, I think it's meant to be the recording, the session 2, the whole thing went missing. So you all were lucky, those who were here managed to...listen to some of the sharing, which was very good, especially the shift of consciousness, the one that I think Joy shared. So those who didn't attend, no recording. So it's meant to be. Because very strange, you know, according to my wife, he said the recorder was on. Then I checked with Hui Rong.He said only the first 2 part, the last 2 part, less than 1 minute, stop. So I knew already, as it meant to be. So luckily, Hui Rong remember this earlier discussion on Diamond Sutta. So Diamond Sutta, there are a few very penetrative wisdom within Diamond Sutta. And actually, Diamond Sutta is equally powerful as the Heart Sutta.But they are complementary. Complementary. You know what is diamond? The most precious of all the precious stones is called the gemstone. And the diamond are the most precious among the gems. So the Diamond Sutta is supposed to be the ultimate, most beautiful sutta. But these are sutta...that can only be understood by enlightened beings. Not ordinary enlightened beings. It has to be those who have walked the Bodhisattva way and penetrated quite far. Great Bodhisattvas and Buddhas. That's why this sutta comes about from these great beings. It's spoken from their understanding. The first part thatmost people refer to was how Hui Ning, you remember the sixth patriarch, Hui Ning, how he just listened to one merchant who was chanting the Diamond Sutta when he was delivering the firewood. He was a woodcutter. He delivered this firewood to this, proprietor of a shop.Then next to it is the merchant's house that he heard this chanting. When it comes to the stanza in the Diamond Sutta that mentioned the mind must have no dwelling. Sing Wu So Chu in Mandarin. He straight away awakened. He straight away became enlightened. And now I repeat.The mind must have no dwelling. Can you awaken to it? How come the Diamond Sutta is so powerful? Like they say, 这么神奇，没计划的这么神奇。But when you understand, it is possible. Because these are Dhamma that are very penetrative. That's why when I read the Theravada Sutta also, that time I tell myself, you remember Asaji? One of the 5 ascetics that listened to the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Only Kondanya became a Sotapan after he finished the sermon, the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta.Then the Buddha followed by the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the Sutta on non-self and empty nature, the characteristics of Anatta. When he finished that sit-down, all five become Arahant. See, so powerful. And the sit-down is not so complicated as the Mahayana sutta. It's just an ordinary Anatta Lakkhana sutta. How come it has that power? All this you must understand. The Buddha actually knew that these five ascetics, they cultivate before in the past. The only thing they lack is the true Dhamma, the true understanding of truth. That's why he started off with Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. So what is Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta? It's centered around what? What is the core teaching in Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta? He started off by saying, avoid the two extremes, remember? Avoid the two extremes of sensual indulgence and self-mortification. Then he went into the Four Noble Truths, remember? Then he talked about the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. Actually, these are the essential Dhamma. These are the things that will explain to you all of life, the secret of life. And you can develop the three types of wisdom from this cultivation. Even the Buddha himself at that time, he said, when he was a Bodhisattva, not until he has developed the cultivation of this Four Noble Truths in this three turning or 12 mode, he cannot proclaim to be the enlightened one or fully enlightened. So all cultivators need to go through all this to understand. So because of that, he knew that will set the base for them to receive truth. So immediately after that, because Kandanya was able to receive was because of one birth in a distant past. When Sakyamuni was a Bodhisattva, he was cultivating this virtue of patience. Then at that time, Kandanya was born as a king. This king got a lot of, they call concubine at that time, a lot of wives. They call in Mandarin, like the Emperor of China, you got a lot of what they call, 什么啦? 叫什么? 不是。 No. What you call those lady? No. There's a Mandarin word. 妃子. 杨贵妃什么妃. All the, a lot of this 妃子. So, the concubine are like 妃子. They got thousands of them. So, when the king went for their usual hunting or whatever, the man and the king, they will go to hunting. Then the lady or the concubine or the 妃子, they all move around the area to like go around the garden or whatever. Then suddenly, they saw this hermit, no? Hair all very long, never cut, very untidy. They become very amused. At first they were scared of this hermit. Then they become very amused because this hermit is so kind, so wise. Then they ask questions and the hermit replied in such a nice way. They become so like nice to him also, very friendly. Then after the king came back, he realized all the 妃子 missing, concubine. So he asked around the attendant, where were they? Oh, they were all gathering around the hermit, listening to him. What are they listening to? The hermit said he's cultivating patience in that life. He wants to perfect his perfection. So this king, I think, jealous. He went and have a look. Then he also quite smart and quite wise. He said, oh, okay, I want to test this hermit, see whether he really has the virtue and cultivation or not. Then he went there, he made himself known. Then he asked all the concubines to clear. Then he questioned the hermit. He said, I was told you are practicing patience. Huh? I want to see how patient are you now. He said. So the hermit smiled. Yeah, you can test me, is it? No problem. I really need someone to test me. Then you know what the king said? Okay, I will now cut off your four limbs. Then you tell me whether you will get angry or not, or you will still be very patient. The hermit just laughed or smiled. He said, okay, let's do it, is it? The king was very surprised. Then the king said, you sure want to do it? He said, yes. No problem, is it? You go ahead, is it? He said, if my cultivation has not been perfected, after you cut my limb, they will not come back to me. But if my cultivation has been perfected, after you cut my limbs, the limbs will come back to me. So this king don't believe. Okay, he said, let's do it. So he really, I think they put the horses, one to each limb, four. Sima fen si, in Mandarin they call it in China. And they really rip apart the four limbs. Then he just invoke one aspiration. By the power of this truth, is it? If I have sincerely developed the perfection of this parami of patience, may my limbs come back to me. Zoop, all the four limbs come back to him. Then the king panicked. Straight away came down from the horse and kneeled and paid respect and asked for forgiveness. Then this hermit, you know what he said? He was supposed to be the future Sakyamuni Buddha. He laughed. He said, don't worry, O king. You have done me a great favor. I will reward you. In the future, when I become the Sammasambuddha, you will be the first one I will take across, is it? That's how Kondajna become a Sotapanna. Where he promised to take him across, the first one. That's how it's connected to his pure wish. Then when Kananya taken across, the other four monks, he knew they are ready. That's why the Buddha spoke the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Anatta is about emptiness, sunyata, non-self, empty nature. So it's similar to Heart Sutta. It's similar to Diamond Sutta. Because these are the profound Dhamma, wisdom. The moment this Sutta is spoken, they straight away become Arahant. So you will come to understand. Then one of the ascetic I told you is Asaji. And you know, Sariputta, the foremost in wisdom, the chief disciple of the Buddha, his first teacher was actually Asaji, before he met Sakyamuni. Because he had another, good friend, where they already had an agreement, whoever find the truth will come back and tell the other one, and together they will go and cultivate. So one day this Sariputta, before he had this name of Sariputta, I think he had another name. If I'm not wrong, it's Tissa, I don't know what, I forgot it. So he was in the, village. Then he was observing all those ascetic or monks that move around. Then he saw one, Asaji, very calm, very serene. The mind is so beautiful. Then he knew this monk must be somebody who has cultivated very well. Then he observed him, Pinnapat. Then observed him after Pinnapat, where he go and how he rest and eat. Then after he finished eating, only Sariputta approached him, pay respect and talk to him. He just asked him very simple question, is it? He said, most venerable, may you tell me who your teacher is, is it? You are very serene, is it? You are very calm, and you have this, what they call, aura, that dictate that you are really, really beautiful. Then this Asaji being very humble, is it? Actually, I don't know much, is it? I only learn a little from my teacher. Then this Sariputta, because he got a lot of wisdom, he said, don't worry, whatever little that your teacher tell you, I hope you can share with me. And he just talked like that. Then this Asaji said, okay, my teacher told me this, he said, whatever that arises, listen, whatever that arises in this whole universe, isn't it? There are causes and conditions behind. Then the second sentence is, these causes and conditions my teacher has explained. Just like that, you know. Straight away, this Sariputta becomes Sotapanna. And now I repeat, you can become Sotapanna. The Buddha say, whatever that arises in this universe, there are causes and conditions behind. Can follow, eh? Then these causes and conditions, my teacher has explained. Straight away, he become a Sotapanna. How is this possible? You know, when I read that thing, this life, I also can become like what Sariputta is. Because I knew you are so beautiful, so profound. This is actually the whole of the Dhamma is inside there. Whatever that arises, means any phenomena in this universe, that you come to experience or encounter or perceive, there are causes and conditions behind. Means what? Means what? You all cannot link to the Dhamma. He already explained so clear. There are causes and conditions behind. Means what? Everything that arises, they are causal phenomena, understand not? Condition arising, understand not? Following nature's law, understand not? That's why there are causes and conditions behind. Understand not? And these causes and conditions, my teacher has explained. What has he explained? The first law is what? The three right view, what are they? The first law is what? A law of karma, moral causation. That's why whatever that happened, the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, here to your karma condition, but you are what you are because of karma. So straight away when he explained this to you, you will have the right view and you know everything that happened to the individual. 99.99% is karmically driven. You are born of it, here to it, condition support, and you are what you are because of it. And all of this is condition arising. You cannot stop, you cannot interfere, understand? Condition like that, things will be like that, understand? That's why he knows there is no permanent, unchanging entity within, understand? That's why the self-delusion, Sakkaya Ditti, straight away, abandoned, understand? That's why Sariputta straight away become a Sotapanna. Then there is no more doubt. No. That's why those who have cultivated before with the wisdom, they will awaken. Then similarly, coming back to the Diamond Sutta, the mind must have no dwelling. How did Hui Ning became awakened straight away? What do you mean by the mind must have no dwelling? Means your mind doesn't dwell anywhere, no? Means what? Dwelling means what? When you stay somewhere, isn't it? How does the mind dwell? Yeah, it's form of mind, correct? But you have to explain. What does this form of mind do? Then only there is dwelling. Krishnamurti called it the me and the I. How does the me and the I come about? How does Sakkaya Ditti come about? How does the ego come about? That's why last Tuesday we were discussing similar thing, but we were talking about making offering, remember? Making offering. The Diamond Sutta says, When you make offering, the highest offering is when you understand that there is no one to give. When there is also no one to receive, that is the highest. So I ask you that. For human being, they will think, huh? No one to give, no one to receive. They give for what? Well, they cannot understand. But there is the highest giving. That's why the truth is always the opposite of what the conventional people think, the normally living thing. Yeah. So all these are related actually. So coming back to the mind must have no dwelling. Dwelling means what? Dwelling means the mind stays somewhere. Does that know? Like you dwell on a phenomena. When you perceive something like the flower, what happens? Your mind dwells there, isn't it? Correct? That's why your mind is lost in thought. Preoccupied with that thinking, that perception, that reaction, that whatever that your mind creates, understand? So when you do that, means the mind has stirred, come out, understand? And that is the mundane mind, understand? The enlightened one, the heedful, the mind doesn't dwell anywhere, understand? It's just aware. Even when it is with the specific phenomenal awareness, there is no perception, understand? There is no knowing, understand? It's awareness before the knowing. That's why it doesn't dwell. It flows. It moves. It's one with everything. That is the real understanding. And you know why Hui Ning straight away awakened or not? Well, he was born without the mundane mind. When he was born, it was with the true mind. And the true mind don't have word, don't have concept, don't have Dhamma. He doesn't know anything. He has been living with that type of mind. But when the Sutta, the moment he said the mind must have no dwelling, he straight away awakened. Because his mind already don't dwell anywhere. That's why when he went to see the fifth patriarch, he can answer the fifth patriarch so well. The fifth patriarch, remember, asked him what? What did the fifth patriarch ask him? Yeah, he got a letter of recommendation from the merchant, remember? To go there. Then the merchant promised to take care of the mother. Then when he reached there, he passed that letter to the fifth patriarch's attendant who passed to fifth patriarch. Then they were in the middle of an assembly, I think. Then the fifth patriarch looked at Hui Ning, asked him, what do you want? He said, he said, I came to seek Buddhahood. Wow, this patriarch was also actually quite shocked. You know? Seek patriarchhood, you know? Just one letter. He said, where are you from? You want to seek patriarchhood? He said, I'm from the south. I walk for how long to seek Buddhahood? Unless he seek Buddhahood, he will not live, is it? Then the fifth patriarch said, south means you are a barbarian. Correct or not? Because the southerner are like barbarian. The northerner, like Beijing side, they are scholarly and all those things. Yes, you need to go there and sit for your exam, Kao Zhuang Yan. So, the South are projected as people not so educated or civilized. That's why they are called barbarian. Then you know how he answered the fifth patriarch. He said, human being got differentiation, is it? You can classify them as northerner, southerner. But that true nature got no north, no south. Then the fifth patriarch knew, said, you talk too much. You say, okay, you go to the kitchen. That's how he was able to actually became the sixth patriarch later on. Because he has great wisdom. So all these Mahayana teaching, they are very penetrative. Then coming back to giving, offering. The Theravada Sutta say what? The highest offering is when the three conditions are fulfilled. What are the three conditions? the three conditions. I have spoken many times. In Pali, it's called Somanasa Sahagatam, Jnana Sampayutam, Asangkalikam. What is Somanasa Sahagatam? Sahagatam is happy. Somanasa is what? Like Malay word, Sumo Masa Sahagatam. Means before you offer, when you offer, and after you offer, you rejoice, understand? That is the highest. One of the conditions for the highest giving. Second one is what? Jnana Sampayutam. Jnana is what? With insight, with wisdom, with understanding, you offer. You don't offer because people say this is good. You just follow. With understanding, you straight away make the offering through your own understanding. That's why in jnana. Jnana is like insight, knowledge, or understanding. Asangkalikang is what? Spontaneous. No need to be prompted. No need to wait for people to tell you, okay, this one is very wholesome, you must do. Means prompted. People prompt you to do. Means spontaneously you see God condition and there is joy. You want to make offering, you want to help, and you just do. And that is the highest offering. But when it comes to Diamond Sutta, the Diamond Sutta says the highest offering is actually the one with wisdom, which the Buddha mentioned, the second condition. Yeah. Because the Diamond Sutta don't talk about mundane mind anymore. Understand? So mundane mind, you got Somanasa Sahagatam, understand? You rejoice, understand? Before you do, when you do, and after you do. Then you act spontaneously. These are all within the conditioned world. Understand? But when it comes to Diamond Sutta, it's the unconditioned. They are only interested in wisdom. So that's why say the highest offering is when you can offer with the understanding that there is no one to offer. And there is no one to receive. Okay, we discussed this one. You almost try. Every time I tell you the answer, it doesn't go in. Based on what the Buddha has taught you, how come he say like that? Who is this you that offer? You got the green book in there, I give it to you. How many of you read? Oh, Yun Chan have it in front of you, her or someone. Have you read the thing? Not yet. Then who are you? What are you? That's why you must have that clear understanding of who are you? What are you? What is this fire aggregate of form and mind? What is this human being all about? Without that understanding, your wisdom cannot be penetrative. Understand? You must have the understanding. Otherwise, you cannot penetrate the Dhamma. So when you make offering, who is that you who make offering? It's like exactly explaining to you what? Understanding who you are, what you are. Is this really you, the one that make offering, the form and mind, the so-called human being that make offering? Is that you? Yeah, is that you? Why not you? You are just, I quote you, you are just an aggregate of all this. Means you are all this. Yeah, you can say there is no I, but you cannot explain why there is no I. Understand? That's why this is a real good condition for you all to be very clear. Otherwise, you just keep on quoting me. Oh, brother, you say this. Yeah, not me lah. Buddha also say, anatta. Correct, but there is more deeper understanding than that. Because when you say every instant is different, it's also one of the good way to explain, but it's not penetrative yet, understand? It doesn't tell me much. Can I try? Yeah. Let me try. Because Asaji, remember Asaji. What did Asaji say?
He said, just now we talk about, you see, when a person has gained enlightenment, there is actually no the self in that being. Because if you have realized that oneness nature, everything is conditioned arising. So, you see, that particular form and mind, we call it the vehicle, or, you know, the vehicle to live this in the midst of mundane life. So your, because of your wisdom, penetrative wisdoms that you have gained over your cultivations, you do things very differently. When there is condition for you to perform an action, you will perform. When there's no condition for you to perform, you don't perform. Because you don't do things for the egoic self, because you don't have that egoic self, so to speak, because you are in that oneness nature. Because, you see, he can go in and out, like he can use his, when he wants to leave the mundane life, he got to have the form and mind to leave.
Yeah,
but when he don't need it, he will go back to his that nature.
Okay, very good, Sadhu. Very good. Okay, I will elaborate on that. Because this is very important understanding. That's why I say you have to reflect and contemplate until you are clear of the whole thing. What is important is, like maybe you came to understand, everything is condition arising. So Chui missed that point, because like the Buddha said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. So, condition arising entity is what? Dependent on condition, it changes. That's why Chui say, every moment is different. But you didn't tell me the source, understand? The actual explanation, because it's condition arising. Following what? Nature's law. This body also follow nature's law, go the way of nature. That's why every moment, every instant, the aggregate are keep on changing. It's in a state of flux. Your feeling, your perception, your activity of mind, your whatever content of consciousness, emotion, mental states, consciousness, they come and go very fast, and they keep on evolving. So whatever there is condition arising is not a permanent unchanging entity, it will stay the same. That's why it cannot be you, understand not? Because dependent on condition, it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. So when it ceases to be, then where the hell are you? Understand now? Then who are you? What are you? Then when it arises, because it's not a permanent unchanging entity, how can you say this is you? That's why Mimi came to understand. I explained the Green Book, and I explained many times though, and she also can understand because she has meditated. That this five aggregate for my mind is condition arising. Karmically conditioned out. Karmically conditioned out for you to use. That's why he used the word as a tool. The vehicle is the form. The tool is the mind. To live life. To experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. And to do what you want to do. To cultivate and all things. But there is such thing as a form and mind. Understand? Even though it's not you. Understand? Because the law of karma recognizes relationship. Understand? When the Buddha say, listen, when the Buddha say, that's why he say you must understand both aspects. She used the word you can go in and out of it. Understand? In and out of it means your wisdom. When that form of mind is living life within the conditioned world, there is also nature's law that governs this form of mind. Understand? There is also their own reality. So that's why you cannot say, hey, everything is non-self, empty, not me. You simply do things, cannot. Because law of karma recognizes relationship, understand not? And the form and mind is one aspect of that nature, understand not? Even though it's not the unconditioned, it's the condition arising world. That's why karmically conditioned out. So when you understand this, the wisdom is different. Means this form and mind that come is not you, but karmically conditioned out for you to use, to make use of, to live life, to experience life, and do whatever it is. So like the Buddha said, he said, this nature's law of karma that governs life and existence, every living being, we are born of it, here to it, conditions, about, and you are what you are because of it. When he said that you means what? Is this form and mind, understand or? That's why you don't get deluded. This form and mind exists in the existential world. That's why you can call it Brother Theo. He has a family, he has Kayanamita friends. He has parents, yeah? Even though they already deceased. Then it can have relationship, everything. So when this form and mind come into this world through the karmic conditioning, without wisdom, this form and mind will suffer, understand not? But when it connect and develop the wisdom is the one that protect the form and mind from becoming deluded. That's why with the wisdom and the right understanding, when they connect, this form and mind is no longer deluded, there is no more suffering. But this one is not you, understand not? You want to say this one enlightened, yes, because it's connected to the wisdom, through the direct seeing it awakened. But this one is not you, it's a condition arising entity, a vehicle, a tool. That's why when you make offering, who make offering? That form and mind make offering, understand not? And the form and mind is not you. That's why you understand, when there is condition to do with wisdom, the form and mind will do. Do with faith, understanding and rejoice, everything. But that one is not you. Understand? This is for the law of karma. Understand? For your karmic nature, just in case you need to come again, these are the panami that you will inherit. Understand? Where you are born of a headache. That's why you will know how to do. Even not you, you will do. Because there is wisdom behind. Understand? And the guy who receives is who? Another form of mind. Understand? That's why he know you to give and he know you to receive. But nature's law recognize, understand? And that's it. Like Guang Qing Lao Hao Sang, you remember? He said, whatever you do, he said, yeah? All the, let's say, you want to do something, let's say, Dharma work or whatever, yeah? Or you help somebody. Yeah? That's why he said, 做完了,没事了. You understand the deep meaning, huh? After you finish doing, don't go and think about right and wrong. Don't go and try to reason, ayo, did I do correct? Should I do like that? Ayo, I think wrong. Next time I will not do. This is all sankara. This is all projection. Thought projection. Activity of mind. And this is all the mundane mind. The mind is dwelling on what? On the past and the future, understand? Whether I do correctly or not. Guang Qing Lao Sang say, 对也接受,不对也接受. You know the meaning or not? Correct also accept, not correct also accept. 无论如何要忍住. Whatever it is, it's not about right and wrong. You must have patience with what you do. You do with understanding. Then, 每件事, he said, 做完了就没事了. Everything you do, he said, every action, every whatever that your mind arise and do, the moment you finish, you finish. Don't allow the thought to project, create, stir, then do all those funny things. Exactly like the Sabha Asava Sutta. He said, things that are right for attention, then you put your attention there. things that are not right for attention, you don't put your attention there. And he said, what are the things that are unfit for attention? When you project your thought and create fear, worry, anxiety, that is wrong attention. You can give a lot of example. Like when you are sick, when the doctor diagnoses it, maybe he said, wow, the biopsy result came out not good, bad. Then what happened? Instead of accepting that reality and do what you have to do, you go and project your thought. You go and worry about it. So what happened? The Buddha said, you develop awareness, mindfulness, and you will understand what the Sabbasavasutta said. Things that are fit for attention, he said, when you pay attention, the asava, the unarisen asava defilement, they will not arise. The arisen one cannot continue. They will also cease. And that is right attention. And what is right attention, is it? When you attend to the Four Noble Truths, the first turning, second turning, the third turning. This is suffering. This is the cause of suffering. This is the end of suffering. This is the path that leads to the end of suffering. Suffering is to be understood. Suffering is to be, craving is to be, the cause of suffering is to be abandoned. Then cessation of suffering is to be realized. Then the Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated. He said, you develop attention on this, the unarisen asava will not arise. There is no defilement. Because this is Dhamma. This is understanding. Then the arisen also will not stir and disturb you, where you don't project your thought. But things that are unfit for attention, is that the moment you project your thought, what happened? What happened when my wife come to know, when my company come to know, I may lose my job. My wife may be very worried. Then you yourself already have fear. No? So all this fear, worry, anxiety is what? The unarisen asava defilement. Fear is a defilement, delusion. And that unhappiness, that sorrow, that lamentation, that sadness, these are all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why the unarisen asava arise. Then the arisen also become worse. And these are the things that are unfit for attention, the Buddha said. So when you understand this clearly, you know how to use that five aggregate of form and mind, then no more problem. But when you don't understand, you will be in big problem. Just like what I always share with you, this form and mind is for you to use. Chemically conditioned out, it's not you. So when you know that it's not me, and if I can make use of it, then I don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Correct or not? Correct or not? Oh, that is beautiful living, isn't it? I don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. But it's not me. It's just like the car. Isn't it? You only have to look after the car. But you don't have to worry about the car getting old, getting sick and die. You must know that this one goes the way of nature. While it can serve you, use it. Take care of it. Like I told you, if this body can talk, you will be very, very grateful to this body. My teacher liked to contemplate this way, Ajayantra. He always said, if the body can talk to you, you will really be amazed. He will tell you, oh master, well, you are the master. I'm only tissue and cell. Have me work for you, for the good of the many, before it is too old, too weak, too fragile to serve you. I forgot one part. He said, harm me not. I'm only tissue and cell. Harm me not. Don't harm this body. You know how human beings harm this body, you know? When they got a problem, they go and drink. They go and womanize and do all those things. Why? Want to drown their sorrow. Want to forget about their unhappy thought. Then they go and torture themselves. That's why they go and do all those funny things. They go and take drugs. They go and perform all those heedless things. Then join all those type of party and all those things. Then went for all those what they call activity that leads to downfall, gambling, womanizing. Then some more they go for what they call horse racing and all those things. Then sometimes they even go for those unsightly show. Then they do a lot of funny things. Then they get themselves involved with all those illegal activity. Then they entangle themselves with the society's law too. So this is how the form and mind fall, entangle themselves and get themselves into trouble. The other thing that you need to understand is this form and mind is for you to use. So the user of thought and this form is very important. Just like money, they are neither good or evil. Thought is neither good or evil, wholesome or unwholesome. The user of thought will make it wholesome or unwholesome. So if the user of thought and this form and mind is wholesome, is wise, then this form and mind become beautiful. Understand not? That's why you must make haste to cultivate, to develop the wisdom and the understanding. Constantly straighten your view, develop the right understanding. Then this form and mind will become beautiful. Then it's incapable of wrong thought. Then all of the action, speech and thought will be beautiful in accordance with Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right understanding. Then right speech, right action, right thought, right livelihood. Then ever mindful, heedful, full of understanding. And the four right effort always there to purify, to abandon, to prevent the arising of this unwholesome thought and all those things. The next book that is going to come out is the Sabbasavak Sutta, Knowing and Seeing. Also another Klang talk is very good. I just finished the editing today. I was sent out for proofreading, checking of Pali font and all those things. Then hopefully after New Year, we will get it printed. That transcript will be very good. It teaches you how to cultivate in more detail. The Four Noble Truths, the Three Turning, the Five Daily Contemplation, the Four Foundations, all these are very general aspects of cultivation to develop the wisdom first. But later on when you want to confront asavak or what they call defilements, you need to develop various types of wisdom. A lot has to do with contemplation and the direct seeing, awakening. That's why under Sabbasavak Sutta is it, the general cultivation is you must have right attention every time you perceive something. Means every time you confront life through your senses, then you have your attention at your moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought consciousness. At that moment of perception or activity, you must have right attention, otherwise you will fall. And to have right attention, you must have right view, right understanding, wisdom. Otherwise you cannot have right attention. Your mind will go wrong. It will develop the defilement. Then apart from right attention, the Buddha said, well, right attention is a very general practice. He said you have to actually go into specific Dhamma. Certain Dhamma you have to restrain. He said, you have to exercise restraint. You cannot do. That's why when you see something, hear something, think of something, smell, taste or tactile feel, you have to exercise sense restraint. What are the things that you have to exercise sense restraint? You everyday chant what? You renew your five precepts, isn't it? You undertake the training rule not to do this, not to do that, isn't it? When you see something you don't exercise restraint, you will kill and cause to kill and harm because you are not mindful. That's why you must have mindfulness, heedfulness, and you must exercise sense restraint. So when the mental intention has arisen for you to do something that will lead to the violation of the precept, you have to exercise sense restraint. Why? Because you have undertaken that training rule not to do that. Understand not? If you chant panatipata viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami, you chant only. Then when you go into your daily life, you still got this intention to kill, harm, deceive, and all the state. Then what type of precept are you keeping? You are not serious. You didn't really train yourself. That's why you undertake the training rule. No? Means what? You ever mindful to exercise sense restraint. Huh? Oh. That's why the Sabha Asava Sutta is very powerful. Then there are certain defilements where you have to exercise endurance. You have to endure them. You cannot go against them. You cannot complain about them. What are the things that you must endure? The Buddha teach you under the five daily contemplation. What are the things that you must endure? The first three is what? Five daily contemplation. Every day you contemplate on. Lao Ping Si. This body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and finally die. This one you must endure, no? Understand? Or? Not you, no? Every living being also have to go through it. They live long enough. So when this body get old, got rheumatism, and like the car, the spare part all, they will start to become like beyond economical repair. Or they will start to break down. After long time of use, wear and tear. Then this one, as you go the way of nature, you need to endure, understand? Like bodily sickness, disease, rheumatism, or whatever. Sometimes injury and all those things. Before the medication can come, before the doctors can give you all the whatever medication or treatment, you need to endure, understand? Then when your senses start to fail you, you also need to endure. Otherwise you can become miserable. Like the Buddha said, you got two choices. React, complain, and become miserable. That is one choice. The other choice is, this is the body, not me. It goes the way of nature. If I accept that, I can be at peace with it. Yeah, everybody go through it. If I accept I am at peace, then what must I do? I do what I have to do. If I need to seek a cure, I go and get a cure. If I need to seek somebody who has the understanding to repair, like the car, send to a good mechanic. For the car, most of the spare part you can replace. But this form, not much spare part. You can have heart transplant, but chances people give it to you is very slim. Even the eye transplant also very slim. Artificial limb got nowadays. So when you understand, these are the things that you need to endure. So you endure. Then there are things that you need to avoid. You say the foolish, the heedless, dangerous situation you need to avoid. Then there are things that you need to exercise what they call abandoning or removal. You have to constantly arise the foreign effort. When there is this sensual desire or ill will or delusion or cruelty or unwholesome thought that has arisen, you have to actually exercise sense restraint and abandon it. Abandoning it is very important. Inside the sutta, actually, the Buddha went into very detail. He said, a true cultivator, a true disciple of the Buddha, they will not tolerate the arising of a single defilement, a single thought that has this sensual desire or ill will or delusion. They cannot tolerate. The moment they are aware, they will abandon it. Then when they develop the stability of wisdom, before it arises, they will prevent it from arising. Until later, the whole thing rooted out. No more delusion, no more ignorant, then it will not arise anymore in the future, and they will know. Then the last one is the development. By development means you cultivate the seven factors of enlightenment. So these are the various ways that the Buddha actually taught, and they are very beautiful. It's all in the sutta. And in that talk, I explain it very clearly, in quite a lot of detail, actually. Initially, I started off by sharing where they choose that title. It was based on, I think, one monk. He went to Taiwan to give a retreat. Then they find the retreat quite interesting. Then they try to compile something. Then the monk edited and came out in an e-book, very thick. Then he sent me the e-book. I said, why you choose this topic? Well, his heading was very funny. He said, knowing and seeing. I said, you want me to talk on the Dhamma topic of knowing and seeing without any rationale behind? I will just speak or share with you based on my understanding. Sadhu, Joyce. And you may not understand what I mean. So he sent me the e-book. Then I realized this monk based it on this sutta, Sabbasavak Sutta. Because in this sutta, there is a very famous, like authority type of saying. Where this sutta summarizes everything into just this important sentence. The opening statement of the sutta is it, the Buddha mentioned. He said, destruction of asava or rooting out of defilement can only happen in one who know and see, not in one who doesn't know and doesn't see. That's why this heading come about, knowing and seeing. Actually, it comes from this Sabba Asava Sutta. Sabba is all, asava is defilement. The sutta that talks about the rooting out of all defilement. So when I saw that, I said, okay, good. Now at least I know what it's based on. Then I will explain to you based on my understanding. And it's so different from what they learn. They go do anapanasati and I think concentration and all those things. They develop a lot of other things. When I read the e-book, I said, oh, okay. Because that is their way. If you know how to release it out and come out and do daily mindfulness, you can also root out. Otherwise, you will be like trapped inside. But they didn't talk about that Sabba Asava Sutta's seven ways of rooting out defilement. The e-book didn't talk about it. That's why it's so different. They quote the opening statement. So to them, is they go for the so-called seeing. To them, they think that is the direct seeing. Because they concentrate until their mind so powerful, go into samadhi, go into apana samadhi, until they can see the kalapas and everything, the fast moving, or like X-ray eye like that. Or they thought that is the real seeing, or impermanent. Well, people have their own way of understanding things, so we leave it to them because they are free to choose the approach or method or technique to derive the wisdom. As long as you can develop wisdom out of it, it's okay. Anyway, it is also the same. But if you don't come back into daily mindfulness to develop this direct seeing through the silent mind, the one in samadhi, concentration, that is not the real one. Yet that is still within the field of thought. The ego is still there. Is still within the field of thought. Thought is still active. And thought before is awakened, it will have delusion. It is egoic. It's limited. But this is not the true mind. Only the true mind can awaken to the direct seeing. Because the wisdom, the Dhamma that the Buddha taught is akaliko, remember? Timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. So if your instrument is still thought, no matter how powerful your meditation is, is still within the field of thought. You cannot break free. That's why I say you have to release that concentration now, samadhi, into normal awareness. Then the mind free. And then no thought. Then you develop heedfulness. Four foundation of mindfulness. Mindful of kaya, feeling, citta, content of consciousness, and dhamma. Then only you can penetrate. Then only the form of mind can awaken. So it's very different. Okay, I hope I have answered your question, the Diamond Sutta. So the two aspects of it, the mind must have no dwelling, and the giving. No one to give, no one to receive. Anybody wants to? Yeah, maybe you can share. Yeah, Sadhu.
I got one, I call it awakening or realization. I think it's quite close to what the topic we discussing today. And this happened on the 28th January. And I would like to say sadhu to Brother Song, because he was talking about sharing do inspire people. So normally I don't really share, because sometimes it's very difficult to write in words or so. So this happened is I was driving back from the Taylor's Uni along the Federal Highway. I was rejoicing on all the whatever that I have received, and I was also reflecting the talk by Ajahn Thon that we have it in BAPS. And he says something very interesting in the talk is, he talks about emptiness, sunyata. Then he say, don't be mistaken emptiness when the eye sees everything is empty. I was reflecting and contemplating on that. Then it comes to me that maybe he's talking about pure consciousness. Then I always remember Brother Teo say, if you want to go beyond the oneness nature, you got to go beyond the pure consciousness. That means, because it's very difficult to talk about emptiness, you see. So this understanding made me fully realize that there are the three types of emptiness that that a person will go through. And in that driving situation, I can actually see that when I can go in and out of the, I can be like having the pure awareness. When I'm driving, I'm aware of all the phenomena. Then I can actually feel the sound, sight, and view. And I also can go into another state where you are actually one with the whole phenomena. Actually, let me see three of it straight away in the driving situation. So the eye is, when I reflect on Ajahn Thon's talk, is the eye is seeing emptiness, nature of all phenomena. That is one level of emptiness. But there is still an eye to see the empty nature of form, mind, and external phenomena. The next level of emptiness is the oneness nature, or we call it the true nature. Just with all the consciousness of all sight, sound, vibrations within the eye to see, you don't see there is any form or mind to see. This is where there's no form and mind to see. So when I realized this, I was so grateful to Pusien, because straight away the Fan Kong Si Ren appeared in my mind, that he said, this is what you need to see. That's the reason why I brought along these posters. The reason why I bring these posters is I would like all Kayamitas to have the conditions to have the affinity with all these great Buddhas, great Bodhisattvas and great beings, because they really can actually help you to connect back to your true nature. Because I really have a lot of, I was in tears when I realized this, and I was like, wow, because the Fan Kong Si Ren is 2.5 years ago when I was in E Mei San, it was made known to me, this Kong Nan, and I didn't really look deep into it until, you know, the thing comes to me and asks me to look into it. Because why I reflected that way is because I remember Song's poem is, he said, if the heart ming liao, did you, what kong, something like that. That's why it makes...
Ming xing jian xing.
So because of that, I reflect and contemplate when I was driving, and it comes to me. He let me see the three different type of emptiness. That's my sharing. So I hope this will have the condition for Kayamitas. Maybe eventually they can see it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sadhu. So that is maybe sharing. So hopefully you all can also develop your own contemplation. Yeah, this is what she encountered when she was at this Amazon. The monk, I think, where we make the offering at the end, the main shrine there, where we did the chanting and everything. There was one monk there. So this monk nowadays in Amazon in China, they are actually different from last time. Now they study the sutta. I realized this trip when I went there, it was so different from last time when we went to Putasan and even this Chuhasan and Wutaisan. Wutaisan not so bad. Wutaisan, some of the temple, the monks are good. Then the other monks of certain temple, they are more commercial type. But this time around, most of them are quite good. They really study the Buddha Dhamma, the true Buddha Dhamma. You see, all this, what they try to explain to you through the sutta, mainly the Mahayana sutta, of course they have various way, skillful means of teaching, that they talk about the three types of emptiness, contemplation. He call it San Kong Si Ren, is it? Is it the four type of endurance, is it? The three type of San Kong in Mandarin is what? What did they tell you? My wife can remember. What are the three? You got write down?
I believe in English.
Yeah. What do you write?
Okay. The three types of emptiness is, the first emptiness one have to realize is the emptiness of form and mind. That is, that's where you have the Sakkaya Tittis. You really know this form and mind is not you. The second type of emptiness is the emptiness of nature phenomena. And the third type of emptiness is emptiness of pure consciousness, still having the eye, to return to the oneness nature, just aware and there, and there's no form and mind to be aware, just oneness nature with the entire existence. I don't know, this is my own way of...
Yeah, this one is what you have recorded, but I think the mandatory one is different. The mandatory one, if I'm not wrong, you often think, one of them is fa kong, fa, you know what is fa, dhamma is also empty. Then the first one is the empty nature of existence, condition arising world, all condition arising phenomena are empty. That one I don't know what they call in Mandarin. The second one, Fa Kong, is Dhamma, is also empty. That's why in the Heart Sutta, you come across in true emptiness. You always use this word, anasana. In true emptiness, everything also don't exist. Dhamma also don't exist. Four Noble Truths also don't exist. But these are the various description of emptiness. But the moment you penetrate the Dhamma, you will understand them all. How they classify, you will understand them all. But the basic understanding is penetrating your own nature. Know thyself. When you know thyself, you know the world. Where you are the world. Nothing is apart from you. Then everything that is from the source, that's why Penlightenment, original nature, true nature, Zising. My wife got it. Ask her to read. Wait. The eye, the atta.
Ji kong.
What is ji? What is the meaning of
ji? Holding. The things that. Whatever things are.
Condition arising.
Things.
All things. All things are empty. Okay. Started. You understand the first one or not? Of it. Wo kong means that atta is empty. He know you, he know me. Condition arising, causal phenomenon, comically conditioned. That one is the I, wo kong. The first level of emptiness, he know you, he know me. Condition arising, comically conditioned out for you to use. And it's not a permanent unchanging entity. Fa kong, dhamma is also empty. Dhamma points towards the truth. But Dhamma is not the truth, understand? So you don't attach to Dhamma. Dhamma will bring you to the cultivation, where it points towards the truth. From Dhamma you develop understanding, then you cultivate. But the moment you awaken, there is no Dhamma, understand? Dhamma only exists in the conditioned world, where you want to live life, when you want to teach and share, there is Dhamma. But in true emptiness, there is no Dhamma. In true emptiness, there is only suchness. That's like zu laya, zu putong. That's like suchness. Zu lai is samasambuddha, zu lai fo. That's why expert in suchness. That's why he called himself the tathagata, tathata. Then the other one, he say, I don't know what the Mandarin word is. The meaning is everything. That is correct. Means the condition and the unconditioned, they are also empty. Originally, there is nothing. That's why from the source of all things, zero. The source got nothing in it. It is the beginning of all things. So the beginning is empty, zero. That's why from zero come one come. Infinity. This one is very important. This is what creation is all about. From zero come One come, infinity. Infinity, long time didn't write already. This is a math symbol. Infinity. This zero, you realize or not, is a very beautiful symptom. If he wants to go back to the source, when you draw a zero, from here you start. You must end back to the same point. From that nature come out creation. That's why all of the phenomenal world, they come from the conditioned arising mind. The conditioned arising mind is a byproduct of that true nature. That's why you have to return all of external phenomenal world back to consciousness, the conditioned arising mind. Consciousness back to the pure awareness. Pure awareness back to the source or true nature. It's all in the Heart Sutta note. With the diagram all beautifully drawn. That's why this Heart Sutta note, when it come out, it will be very, very penetrative. And it will open up a great world of understanding of the true Buddha Dhamma. And this one, because it's so well documented through the condition that arise during the sharing, the 1.5 year plus of sharing. Because the Q&A, everything fall into place. It's like, you plan also, you cannot plan until like that. It just happened. In the class, the sharing, then the short note came, then I edit. Because with the short note, it's like pointer for me to recall what I share. Then I just write down whatever I can recall in that concise manner. So all of my sharing with Kayana Mitta over the last 10 years, they are all there, except the higher teaching, the Bodhisattva way. That one is not much mentioned inside there. So all this is like meant to be. Because when I did the proofreading, when I was reading through, actually I was so surprised that so much was covered. And the book turned out to be so beautiful. You can ask Padma Suri and Tim, they helped out a lot. Ng Bi, they also, Ellen, they read through. They were so amazed. And Sister Lee also, by the Dhamma. Because you really couldn't believe, that over that 1 year of sharing, so much beautiful Dhamma was recorded and put into writing. And this one will be very, very useful, because the recording are all still there. Later on, if you want to listen to the recording, you can. But the important part is the written Dhamma. They are put into words. Last time is only speech form. So every time you got to go and listen to the recording, you waste a lot of time. So now what we have done is so beautiful. You just read through 180 pages, everything is there. Then you can make your own indexing if you want to. Then you can help us, because we want to compile one indexing too, and later on add in as an addendum. Indexing means what? When you want to find certain specific Dhamma topic, like Three Turning of the Four Noble Truths. You know, the textbook at the back got index. What page got all these things. Very easy. Then you want to know the five daily contemplation, what are the pages with all these things. So the index is very useful. Then you want to understand what is heedfulness, on what page, all that. So you save a lot of time. Then they are so clearly explained, and put into writing. You cannot forget, because you can always refer to it. Then when you slowly read with understanding, with clarity of mind, with heedfulness and faith, I tell you, you keep on understanding. You keep on understanding. Well, Dhamma is like that one, I realize. If it's in a spoken form, you cannot. Very difficult. During the early day, you know what happened. I also recorded most of my teacher's talk. Especially Acharya Yantra, I recorded a lot. Then my second last teacher also. Then there are other talk that I listen, but I listen the most is to Acharya Yantra and my second last teacher. Then when I listen, I keep on listening. Well, last time I used to drive back to Alastair, you know, Alastair. And as I drive, 8 hours. So the whole trip is Dhamma only listening. Very clear one. Then when I came back, also same. That time, Swen Hua also I recorded. I listened to his talk a lot. That's why it went in. It went in. Because that time I was very serious in the cultivation. It was like my daily routine. My faith was very strong, and I know the importance of this Buddha Dhamma. That's why I was searching. Then the moment I came to know that these teachings are so beautiful and it is still available in the world, then I became dead serious. I only need truth. I don't need the explanation. So they are able to point out to me a few of this truth, the pointers. The moment I understand this truth, I penetrate on my own, where my past come back to me, I connect back. Then I can understand and develop it further. Develop it beyond what they speak and what they teach. That is my special skill. That's why when I come to this particular life, this form and mind, a lot of the things that I share with you, I don't learn this life. It's not from this life. It's all from the past. But I need to connect to that true nature. Then from there, everything just come, fall into place. 1986 to 89, the book come, the teacher come, the guide come, everything come. You ask me why, I also don't know. I don't know them. All over the world they come. None of them I know them. But it just happened. Why that 3 years? Why not before and not after? Then ever since the 89 until now, I got no more teacher. In fact, my last teacher told me, after he was referring to him, he said, after the last one, he said, when there is no more earthly guide, he called Gaia, then the astral one will come and see you, he said. But until now, no. Don't have. I only got, no, in the astro, not astro. Astro is the TV box. The astro traveling one, in the astro one. Well, he told me, this one, just for your own sharing. He told me during the early day, when he got one teacher from Kalimantan. He called him Ape. Ape, you know what is Ape, real Ape from China one, last time Gobi Desert, come on. That guy was real occult specialist. That fellow was occult specialist. You know what is occult or not? Pure psychic. Ayo, time out already. So you want to listen or wait till after New Year? Listen. Okay, about 10 minutes. You see, this guy, actually, according to him, you see, at the age of 35, he's supposed to die. Then, this astro people, looking for him all over, you know, cannot find him. They thought he was an old guy, you know. But they didn't know he was so young. You know. Then this Ape, actually from the they call it the, what they call, no, the higher being, Tai or Rhyme. Ayo, what's the name really? This one, there is one rhyme up there, where all these great beings, I forgot what they call it already. They send him to look for this guy, my last teacher, my last guy. They couldn't find him, until finally he located him in Indonesia. Then, that time very slow, through telex. The message comes just like that. I know you are dying. The daylight saw you receive. I know you are dying. If you want to extend your life, please come and meet me. Kalimantan, no. Take the flight there, got to go into the jungle for 9 days and 9 nights. So. With a four-wheel drive and certain place, four-wheel drive also cannot reach. Then when he reached there, there was a community inside there, very beautiful. And this ape, he showed me the photo, really ape. The short pants, very white one. The pants, very white one. Last time my father used to wear. Wow, he said, this guy is really good. When he met him, he asked him, do you know who are you? He said, he don't know. Do you know you are dying? He said, I know. Do you want me to help you? He said, I don't want. You don't want, he said. Then what you want? I want you to teach me. So that when you're not around, I still know how to do it. He said, you serious or not? He said, well, he all counts very well. He said, within one day, he can count him. But you do yourself, he said, it will take you 20 years. And you will suffer. He said, never mind, I choose the 20 years. Suffer. That's why he waited until almost 60 years old when he come out and teach. He went to New Zealand and hike. And lie low. But he suffered. That 20 years he suffered, he told me. But he want to find out himself. Then you know what happened when they were there. Very strange. You know. That time was, don't know what, Olympic. Was it in Canada? What Olympic was it? Montreal, Montreal Olympic, is it?
Montreal.
How to pronounce Montreal? Montreal. They are one group of them sitting there, you know, about eight of them. You know what happened? The ape just asked, where you want to go tonight? Then one guy said, hey, Olympic going on. Why not we go Montreal Olympic? Okay, close your eyes. Next moment, all there. Saw the whole Montreal Olympic. Then within not long, come back already. Then yeah, what you see? All can describe what they see up there. He said, you got such occult. This all energy field. Then, but he respect the ape. The ape was very good. The ape helped him a lot. Then after that, the ape tell him, ape's teacher. This one I tell you, for your own only. You don't go and tell people, they say you're crazy, you tell people. Never mind, it's okay. Those who have the condition to listen, let them listen. He got one teacher from the Himalayas, 600 years old. You believe or not? 600 years old in the astral. The ape tell him, is it? You think I'm very powerful. I'm not so powerful. Is it? My teacher more powerful. 600 years old. You got affinity. You can meet him. Is it? You want to meet him or not? He said, yes. Okay, he said, lie down. He asked him to lie down. And now meditate. He teach him one type of meditation. I think he must have communicated through occult with the teacher. Well, in the meditation, he went up there. He met this 600 years old one. Yeah. And he talked to him. Then he teach him how to meditate. He's from the Himalayas. That's why you all cannot understand. How many of you read this book? The big Madonna Baker. Also on the Himalayas, on this one book. Beyond the Himalayas. You all read that book. There is a hermit in the Himalaya. I remember his name, Chinese name. Ling Silang. I think Ling Silang. Something like Silang. I don't know what Silang. Oh, that one also fantastic. Before this guy reached his place, he already knew he is coming. That Kuai Lo, that European. He met him, and his place very difficult to cross on the Himalaya, very dangerous. That Lin Silang also very old, also a few hundred years old. So you say, How can 600 years old still sang ngao ngao? But how you explain all this thing? Yeah. That's why you remember what I told you or not. Huh? I used to tell you all. Huh? If you are not in the spiritual field, in the spiritual world, you can never understand one. Because it's like to normal human beings, it's like very difficult to encounter even one good cultivator. They used to say, well, if I can meet one sotapanna, I'm very happy already. But when you are in this field, when you really cultivate, you not only meet sotapanna, you meet fantastic being, I tell you. And you can never understand one. And the thing that they tell you, or you come to understand yourself, and these people, is more fantastic than fairy tale. At first, it's like fairy tale. Then later on, you come to know, whoa, it's more fantastic than fairy tale. And the spiritual field is so different, so different. The being that you encounter and meet is so different. Even though I got no astral guide, I told you, but I met with the great being. I met with this, I told you before, 1986. That one was Kuan Yin came with a triple gem, asked me to move. Then later on, I think 2008 or what, Maitreya came, asked me to share the truth. Them, 请你把正法传下去. That's all. There is no more astral guide. Because to him, he got this 600 years old astral guide. So he think no more earthly one. Then the astral one, they will send. Well, he know this. There is one rhyme up there. All the higher being one, they will send guide and teacher to you. That's why I like this saying. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. A true one. True one. 86, 89, they appear everywhere. Out of the blue. And after that, no more. Until today, no more. Oh, very, very strange. I also cannot explain to you why. Oh, maybe everything that need to be understood is already understood. So that's why no more until today. 25 years already. 89 until now is 25 years. Correct? 2014 plus 11. 25, yeah. Yeah. Okay, we better end. We do our sharing of merits. Then our transfer merits. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang pang anumoditwa jirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to all departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all to be well and happy always, invoking the blessing for the nation. Devo asatukalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall induce season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. then you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mamibala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawat nivana patia. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep in respect mindfully the Lord Buddha, Kohim Bodhisattva, present and all the worthy ones. Yeah, this card is for you because only invite one person. We have donated through Kayaramita Fund to SJBA Building Foundation, so they invited us. So this one we will send Sister Yun Chan as our representative because it's addressed to Brother Teo Kayaramita. She is the pioneer and she is the most senior. She was the one who invited me. No, I got another one. I donated on my own. My family one. So I got another card upstairs. So I will be going. That's why you will be there. This one is for you. Because he sent me two cards, Suyan. I said, how come got Brother Teo Kayaramita? I thought he invited all Kayaramita. Oh, he cannot. Our all Kayaramita go 100 plus. So we should rejoice, Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then you all should also rejoice with all those who offered the puja, and also to those who brought the food. I think Joyce also bought porridge, and a lot of fruits, I think, and other. So today is before Chinese New Year, So after 14, we got a lunch. Then we break for Chinese New Year. So wishing you all a very happy, beautiful, meaningful Chinese New Year. So make full use of your Dhamma understanding to celebrate Chinese New Year. Ah, Vincent and Anna also brought bihun. Very good. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
And this Friday, plan for Dhamma talk. Those who are free, you can join us.